Hello, hello, welcome, welcome to WF Call today. Good morning, good evening. So I'd like to start to just simply get into the core and be really present here. So welcome everybody coming on. So I'm going to repeat a couple of things, and maybe you're already very, very much centered and very here and present, maybe not. And it won't help, you know, it won't hurt to go deeper. So let's just kind of breathe out fully. Take a deep breath in then. Breathe out and take a deep breath in. And breathe out again. And then what we're going to do is we're going to do Vinoloma, alternating nostril breathing. We're going to go do this 3 times. So you close your right nostril and you breathe into the left and you alternate. Just doing your own timing, your own speed. And then just kind of stay for a moment. For those that just came on, we're doing alternating nostril breathing just 3 times. And when you do this, you want to sit relatively straight, right? And just really concentrating on the breathing. And it's very simple to do. Just in the middle of the day, just suddenly you interrupt yourself no matter what, and you just do 3 nostril breathings. Suddenly you feel a lot better. And you move some kind of blockage through either in the Ida channel or in the Pingala channel, which is the lunar channel, the Ida on the left side, and the Pingala, the solar channel on the right side. And they both have to be balanced and open, so we have that electromagnetic feels running nicely. So let's do one more exercise to repeat. And some of you know this already. Maybe for some of you it's new. So what makes the time appear in existence is the sun and the moon. And when they both, you know, arise and they set, then time exists. So when we basically collapse the sun and the moon, time, we exit time. So I would like you to close your eyes. I would like you to see the sun in the center of your chest, in your heart, you could say, in your heart chakra. You just see a beautiful, bright sun. Just feel the sun, see it, know it, imagine it. Nothing complicated, just like the way you know the sun in the sky, it's sort of in your chest now. And that's your Pingala channel, right? It's a solar channel. And now we're going to also need the moon, the Ida channel. So the moon is now next to the sun. Wherever it appears, right or left side, doesn't really matter. It's probably going to be on your left side, the moon. And now I'd like you to see, feel, and know, and specifically feel, to very slowly make the moon inch towards the sun. They begin to merge. And the key is to just feel it. And until you get sort of, you either take a deep breath or there's some kind of shift there and you just drop the imagery and just be here. And you're, of course, naturally breathing right now. I want you to just continue, just let the breath come naturally. And when you breathe in, you hear so, and when you breathe out, you hear hum. You just attach the sound to the breath. You just think it. You don't have to say it. It's just thinking deep within you. It's almost like you're hearing the breath say the words so, S-O, and hum, H-A-M, or H-U-M. And we're going to do this for about a minute, and I want you to really just listen to the sound and concentrate. Okay, so when we chant Soham and we listen really, the breath is ruled by pretty much the heart chakra, you could say. It's the pranic center, and the pranic center needs to be balanced and functioning right, so that your electromagnetic field is perfectly balanced, and you have five pranas. And those five pranas get beautifully balanced with this particular kind of mantra, Soham. And if you felt like this was sort of difficult, then it means you're in the process of shifting your pranas around. Yeah, your digestive prana, your body prana, the upwards prana, the downwards prana. And so it will become easier once everything starts to click in and everything just functions properly. So it's a very simple way also to prepare yourself for meditation. And it's a combination of doing a mantra and also concentration, because you have to listen and imagine the sound of Soham riding on that breath. And you're paying attention, you're not controlling the breath, so your mind isn't busy controlling either, so you just have to sort of pay attention and without kind of wandering off. And you just bring yourself gently back if you are wandering off. So this week is a very interesting week with the forces that we're encountering, because we have a plutonian energy, Mercury, and a new moon this Wednesday, Thursday. And as you know, that Pluto is a explosive energy. Mercury is in it as well, so it has to do with talking, with moving around, driving. So, of course, everybody really encouraging everybody to be really careful this week, to pay attention, especially around Wednesday, Thursday. At the same time, I want you to also look at the possibility, because the possibilities right now is a destruction. Pluto is a destroyer energy. It's like a bomb, right? Boom, it just destroys. So it's a very strong Kundalini energy. So I'm assuming that it potentially might not be easy to sleep, maybe because the nervous system is involved with Mercury. So basically just allow yourself to be almost like anticipating a wonderful release and a letting go of a lot of things. And so what we're doing here is to let go of our karmas and let go of our ignorance, which means it's not knowing who we truly are, and freeing ourselves from all that. And sometimes, you know, things are being taken away that are that we're attached to, and we actually get something much better afterwards. And so the egoic structure might collapse, and a little bit more, or a fragment of it, and then you feel you're moving into something new at some point. So it is fall anyway. We have a lot of Divine Mother energies coming in as well. I know some of you following Navaratri, and you will notice that this is an energy of where we are basically called to have more trust and to be more in the heart and to be very, very, very strong, so we can go into the winter that is basically a very spiritual time. So welcome somebody else popping in today. So I am trying to remember what else I was going to say today. I'm very empty myself today. And so maybe I'll just turn to you. And if there's something you want me to kind of go into today, just let me know. I am quite empty right now in my mind. So I'm going to unmute Cindy. Just see Cindy. Hi, Cindy. How are you?
Hi. I'm good. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to sit with you, please.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah, very nice. Mm-hmm. Thanks, Cindy. Thank you. Davy. Hi, Davy.
Hi, Rakima.
Did I say something to you? I don't know. Were you the one who said check my meditation? Was that you, Davy?
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry, I forgot. I remember now. Go ahead.
No, so I would like you to check my meditation. I just noticed that after the retreat, I just feel really awake during the meditation. Mm-hmm. And I feel that, especially the first week right after the retreat, I just feel like I wasn't meditating. I just feel like there's a lot of energy moving like upward towards like my crown. And before, I felt really restful. Like, mm-hmm. best day, I don't know what that calls, sometimes samadhi, but like, mm-hmm. now most of the time I just feel super awake. And also like this last couple of days, I feel like the body is breaking down. Like, the only way I can describe is when I go to sleep, I will feel like my aura or something above me moving so fast. It's not my metabolism, it's something, mm-hmm. not inside the body, just like moving.
Yes.
I could feel it, but I don't know what that called, and I just feel really, really tired.
Well, I remember on Friday you were describing, you know, this crystalline structure, right? So you're literally you're literally upgrading your physical body, and that is very tiring at times, and you are breaking down an old structure, an old way of how your cells are, and it's being sort of reworked. So just take care of yourself, eat properly what the body needs and everything else, and when you're very alert. Well, let's have a look at your meditation. Just kind of go, just be here and go into what you would call your meditation. Yes, correct. You are actually now, you're spinning counterclockwise. You're in a spiritualizing vortex right now. You are becoming less matter and more spirit.
Okay.
Just, can you feel that? Can you, do you notice that?
You go, and it's Sorry, go ahead.
And it's also a little wobbly at the same time, which just always feels uncomfortable.
Okay. But, I didn't notice the counterclockwise. I just noticed that as soon as I go to that space, it's just a lot of energy, and it's new to me, but it's not uncomfortable. It's just different.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's a couple of things going on. First of all, the retreat was it really packed a punch because I basically made a huge lift to everybody, right? And now that, and this is just 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, I can't remember how long. So it still continued to unfold and be digested. Now, at the same time, we got this Pluto energy right now going on, and Mercury is right next to it, which rules the nervous system. And we got the new moon, which is sort of also a dissolution energy. So, it can be very, it will feel almost stressful because it's like we're in the middle of freaking renovating, you know, and nothing seems in order because everything's being ripped out and moved along and changed around. So it's totally fine. It's good, though. You have a great energy. It's just there's a lot of movement and it feels uncomfortable. So you can do a little grounding if you can just do anything that grounds you very well. And because when the energy goes counterclockwise, our spleen energy, which moves up and moves down, right? It spirals. When you think of a being, there's a mountain within you, yeah. It will basically think of it. You know, you're just at the bottom of the mountain. It's like in your pelvis, you could say, and then you just kind of you look from above down. It's like a pointy, almost like a pointy mountain. When you see, then it's like, you know, you would be spiraling counterclockwise up the mountain, up, 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 up. And so this, in the spleen energy, likes to go down and up. So when it goes clockwise, the energy spirals downwards and it feels very grounding. You can see in yellow energy spiraling counterclockwise up and then clockwise back down. And you can kind of work a little bit with that because it'll help to stabilize it a little bit. It has to do with the spleen. Okay?
Okay. Thank you, Akuma.
You're welcome. Yeah, I just posted about the fig cake, if you follow me on Facebook, because early in the year, I talked about the year being a metal year. And so spleen and lungs are demand is put on the spleen and the lung. So this is Danielle. I unmute you here. Hi, Danielle.
Hi, Ratima.
Hi.
I have two questions.
Mm-hmm.
So one of them is about, because it came up in the retreat talking about working with ourselves as us in consciousness, and it also came up in the healing school call on Friday. So if it's appropriate to answer here, then put it here. But so I'm trying to understand the aspect of working with ourselves as us in consciousness versus working with things that are in like the mental, emotional, or physical bodies, I guess, would be the other side of that coin.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I remember. Yes, and I made a comment on that. No, thanks for reminding me. Okay. I'm going to respond to what you had asked in the healing school there. When we are when we are healing ourselves, I mean, let's say when we did right now the sun and moon meditation, we're breathing, we're healing ourselves. Of course, we're healing. Healing is a side effect. What we're dominantly doing is here we're actually restraining the mind, to follow what it's a yoga. It needs to concentrate. It needs to do something. It needs to do a certain practice. And so it's basically the side effect is healing. But what we're really doing is we're actually redirecting the mind's movement inwards to that center point, to the nexus of who we are. So we recognize who we are. It has all to do with realizing ourselves. When we're doing healing, we remain in that duality. And we're basically saying, okay, I, the healer, who I am, is healing, let's say, a particular part of myself, or is there is this relationship going on where in what we're doing WS, healing is a side effect of what we're doing. And so it's more about are you being the challenge, it's more challenging in WS because the resistance of the identification with the I is so strong. Whereas as a healer, you can actually enjoy being the healer and you can be fascinated by what goes on, and we can sort that away as being, oh, I did a really good job, or the opposite, I'm really nobody and God is healing and all this. There can be a lot of story around it, where when we literally have to do a concentration exercise or something or sit and meditate, all that has no place. There's no place for it. So in essence, like the true healer is really somebody who is self-realized, because there is just no duality there, really. Did I answer that, or tell me if there's more?
Yeah, I think my question's a little bit different, but
okay.
I'll just ask a piece of it, because it's something that I've been kind of contemplating.
Mm-hmm.
So, because you spoke to Dan, I think, and it was talking about healing stuff in the body versus healing what it was is consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
I'm just wondering, is it a matter of just perspective, like having, like pretty much realizing that it is in consciousness, or is there something more to that?
It's how you locate your attention. We can do this right away. And this is really, in essence, what comes with let's do this. Let's say let me see here. Let's say there's some discomfort somewhere in the body, maybe even sleepiness or digestion, or there's pain or stiff neck or something. So what we can do is we can go and basically perceive dualistically the body's the sensory experience of pain, tiredness, or whatever it is. But then basically, if we basically step away from the surface bodies and we basically go to who is experiencing this, there is, before we go into the emptiness world, because there's nobody there experiencing it really, but right before, the feminine aspect of it. Okay, let me go back up a little bit. I've never talked about it put into words, so especially today where I can't think, it's going to be really tricky. So the who am I, the Yana, okay, and this is just me here creating new yogas, okay. The Yani question of who am I is really a question of completely looking at who's actually having the experience. And when we do, then there's nothing there except who we are. This who we are, which is everywhere. It's just this existence, this presence. Yeah, it's more than presence in the mind. It's the totality of what we are, being, heart, and the presence of the mind. It's sort of the feminine expression of the nothingness. We can call it the everything. This everything is having an experience of suffering. In the past, I always talked about there's a contraction, there's a suffering in consciousness. So the tiredness or the pain or whatever it is on the dualistic level that we can heal away is actually a contraction and a suffering, an eclipsing of light within consciousness itself. So when we basically focus on that primarily and we go there right away, we can basically look around within our inner space and notice where we feel where we are suffering, and we can go right there and we can bring our attention there in awareness, which is light in itself, We can chant into it as well. We can just ask who is experiencing this and all that, and then it will literally dissipate. Is that more the question?
Yeah, I think so. Because it's the suffering, right?
Yeah,
causing it.
Exactly.
So if you find like a pain or whatever, that fatigue, then you can kind of, it feels like almost going into it and finding the suffering.
Yes, exactly.
Which,
exactly.
It feels different than the actual pain itself.
Absolutely, it feels totally different. Exactly. And you're right, we're going into it because when we are our senses, you know, when we meditate, we go inward. When we sleep, we go inward. Because when the world, we go outward and we are in duality and we're using the senses and we are going to then talk about organs and things and stuff. But when we go inward, we're coming more to what's behind it. And it's the consciousness that is contracted and we are suffering because we're identified in that place where there's suffering. We're actually identified and caught in the senses. Yeah, that is the point where we're caught in the senses. If there's a pain somewhere in the body, we're actually caught in a sense. It'll be either hearing, touching, smelling, tasting, or whatever else, can't think of, seeing. And so we're convoluted and identified with the elements because all these senses are based and related to the elements. And then we realize, oh, this is why we always say this body isn't real from the perspective of the egoic I. It doesn't exist. It's an illusion. From the perspective of the one, the true oneness, the body is real, but it is actually absolute beautiful divine substance. So whatever we see and experience as a disease is actually always an illusion, a shadow. It doesn't really exist. It's like the shadow, the way, you know, a chair would cast a shadow on the ground when the sun is shining on the chair. The shadow isn't, that's usually, let's say the problem, let's say there's a problem in the body. It's really the shadow. We're trying to heal the shadow. And healing dualistically is actually playing in the field of story.
Yeah.
But if there's a true healer, and this is why I know a lot of you are in the healing school that are here in WS, and I don't know if you have, not just you, but everybody has been noticing the difference, and I know you are able to notice this, is that somebody who's not WS and is a healer is doing healing. Somebody who is in WS and doing healing is totally different. Because when you are really in that place of oneness, you are really nothing. You are not being an I. And you are allowing healing to take place while you have enough control now over the surface bodies and the mind is used to being so expanded and all that. The healing is so different and it's actually really real. Did you notice that, Danielle, the difference?
I can't say that I did, but I know when you're speaking about it, like I can definitely tell.
Mm-hmm.
I know when you're talking about it. Pick it out in my memory now because I'm like, oh yeah, that kind of feels, you know,
mm-hmm.
denser in a way. Yeah.
Yes. Okay. It's simply because the training is different, you know. It takes a lot of training to really wake up to who we really are, which is really the unspoken something. Anyway, so, okay. Thanks, Sora. Thanks for your question, Danielle. Was there another one? You had two questions,
yeah,
right?
I had one other question, yeah. So, because when Winona did the healing for me, you said that it had to do more with realization. We could talk about it more on this call.
Yes, that is what I answered in the beginning, the very first thing.
Okay.
Yeah, where I basically, that's, if you go back in the replay.
I know. I feel that it kind of like flips off that way, and it's funny because I actually have that as my first question.
I answered the other way around. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks, Danielle. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. This is Shelley here. Hi, Shelley.
Hey there. Couple of things.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly what Davey said. There's a couple of experiences that have been happening. I've been really observing today. So I'm experiencing everything that you're talking about. Tremendous amount of nerve pain at night when I sleep. Joint pain, spine. Not the whole body, just the spine. Feel like definite parts of me breaking down. And what was just interesting is when you were talking just now to Danielle, when you go inwards, I just have the experience now of I can't go anywhere. I can't go inwards. I can't go outwards. It's just, and the more I try to go inward, the more outward I am, meaning I'm everywhere.
That's good.
And there is no distinction between inward and outward. And I don't know how to explain. It's exactly what you're saying with your more aware. I'm like more awake right here. Everything's kind of like crystal clear, but at the same time, you talk about pain. You talk about heaviness. I feel the Pluto. I feel the dryness, craving salts, craving protein, craving sweet. I just feel like there's massive, I don't know what it is, something happening within the body. Can't go there, not even trying to search, not even, I'm really just sitting, and I just focus on the sun. But I was wondering if we could just sit and see what there is. I don't really even need to know.
I'll do that in a moment. I just want to comment on traditionally, you know, when there is no inside, no outside, after the Nirvikalpa Samadhi, usually, you know, one goes into Sahaja Samadhi. That's the old terms of being, basically, there's nowhere to go. You're everywhere all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's not not mature yet, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're in this really unusual time of 5D changes and this Pluto energy is here, which is incredibly lots of light, and then there's Mercury, which affects the nerves. So it's almost like I said, there is a bit, like, that's why I'm thinking sleeping is going to be a bit more difficult this week, right? Because there's no rest. There's the yin aspect of going inward is kind of gone because Pluto is so yang. And and then you have all the movement. You can see it in your body as things are changing. So let's just sit here for a moment, and we're going to approach this now from a place of realization. So we're just going, let's be here. So where you are everywhere, right? You're nothing and you're everywhere, not inside, not outside. Mm-hmm. Okay, now that who is experiencing this, I'd like you to not touch that. Don't touch it. Good, you just went to the eye of the needle here. Did you notice that? So now the areas around there's things around the neck and all that. So all that as well, there's really just don't touch the one that's experiencing it. There's somebody experiencing it, don't touch that. And then even in the nerves now, just forget yourself. I know it makes no sense, but just follow. Do you notice more peace or something?
Yeah, just empty.
Empty.
I just focused on just empty, nothing, just absolutely just nothing.
Yes.
Yeah, and it was interesting. I got it was more of a visual sensation of what, when you said, like right after you said the eye of the needle, I almost felt like I was in a, like a tunnel and going up through the tunnel and all, everything, there was, it just couldn't come with. It was like everything was just kind of falling off and it couldn't come with.
Right.
Very different sensation.
Very good. Yes. Mm-hmm. These are real nadis, real channels within yourself, within you as consciousness. Let's say there's a fine anatomy within consciousness. They're called the nadis. And you're literally going through these kind of, you know, tunnels and you can't get through it because they have a very high vibration, and whatever is not vibrating at that level cannot come with it. And then there's now peace in your heart, is softer, there's a different dimension. It's like a neat. So yeah, keep doing what you're doing.
Thank you. You're doing good.
Thank you. You're welcome. I have Sandra here. Hi, Sandra. Good morning.
Hi. Good morning. This has been really, really wonderful. I wonder if I could go back to Danielle's question to you regarding body and consciousness.
Yeah, yeah.
And just kind of share my understanding. And I'd love to hear if how you feel about that. So it is my understanding that the different parts of our body represent different aspects of our consciousness. And that,
Can you say more about the aspects?
My mother is currently experiencing thyroid cancer. And just in terms of, if you look at the body in terms of our literal function of more of the energy center of the throat in terms of expression and communication, she has a very long history of, as well as taking in nourishment through the throat, of eating disorder and a lot of emotional pain that hasn't been processed. And from my perspective, as well as other addiction. And I feel like this manifestation is of the cancer is very literal for her in terms of a lot of unprocessed things that she was never able to speak, needs that she wasn't able to communicate. I feel like what I've seen over the years in practicing body talk and other modalities, the body can be very literal in the way it manifests disease. Based on what is happening. So is that
absolutely, in fact, it is. Oh, it is. It can be literal with talking, and yeah, absolutely. And that's on the more surface level, right? Because you're actually dealing with the multiplicity of story of the body, and that's all
right.
Absolutely true. You can work with that, and it works absolutely.
Okay.
Any another question to that?
Well, So. In one of your the healing meditations from module one, you said, I wrote it down, by changing the organization of your consciousness, you are rearranging outer occurrences. And so it's kind of deepening my understanding as we heal and our bodies come into, I guess I look at it kind of from operating with greater ease. That then reflects in what happens in our outer world.
Yes, you can see that, absolutely. To make that even easier is your understanding between you and the body, or my body or the body, there's a duality there. You have a body right now, right? At some point that goes away, because then you are being body. And then you are just being. And so we basically go backwards, deeper, deeper back into the unity. We come into, from the multiplicity, we move towards the unity until we realize who we really are. And then the whole perspective changes. The angle of experiencing our body and life changes when we have a different position. And Okay. And of course, if you change your way of thinking and you change your, then your energy changes, your body changes, and the world around you changes, because it's all the same thing, really. It's all the same thing.
Right. Thank you.
Yeah, good. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah,
can
something else?
You?
Yes, okay.
Thank you.
And if I can see something more, and you can, take it or not, is that your mother's illness, when as long as there's an attraction aversion, it is your illness. Are you following me?
No.
We just spoke. good. No, it was good. When we just spoke about that, the world around you is really a reflection of you as consciousness.
Okay, yes.
So your mother is a reflection of your consciousness. She is you. She's just another Sandra. Now, if you have an attraction to her, the situation, what you're seeing to that mirror, or an aversion, then it is your disease. You heal it inside of yourself. There is no mother on the outside. In WS, there is no mother. And on Fridays in healing school, I'll just say, yes, there's a mother. But we're backing up further here and saying there can't be because there's only oneness. You following that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that will liberate you from your own suffering, because your suffering because of the mother is not well. Yeah. And then you'll find that in your unconsciousness where that suffering is, and you liberate yourself and you wake up out of the dream that you have a mother. Do you want to say something now?
Yeah, that feels really important because I feel like I've been carrying her for a long time.
Yeah. And she is in a package of condensed energies that are probably something completely different than what you can see through the sensory perception and the limited mind. It's actually something totally different. It's fascinating how things, it's like, you know, with the microscope, you go a little closer and you see all this fuzz and you back out and it looks totally different, you know?
Yeah.
No, beautiful. You got it. I can see you starting to really open up here. Thank you. Yeah.
Thank you, Ratima.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Good job. Antonia. Hi, Antonia.
Oh. Hi, Ratima.
Hi there.
Hi. I want to ask you a question. I don't know if it's really, I don't know. Okay, before the retreat, I was having a hard time even keeping my eyes open.
Uh-huh.
We were doing, you know, very intense work, I feel like, in the healing school.
Uh-huh.
And I was having a hard time following you, picturing things. I mean, like, not there at all. Like, I was just, so I made the decision not to do the retreat because I was like, I am not going to even been able to participate, open my eyes. I'm just going to be, I was like with my eyes didn't want to open. But I feel like it impacted me no matter what.
Yeah.
Like the week before the retreat, I was completely out of it. I didn't even work for like 4 weeks. The week of the retreat, the same thing. The week after the retreat, wiped down completely.
Mm-hmm.
I came out of it and I feel like I may change it. I don't know. Maybe you can say something. Because now I am right awake, but meditating. So I can be right awake, but I'm meditating where I couldn't even feel the body, but the mind is not active at all.
Okay, and now it's different? Oh, this is the
way, because now I feel like I'm more awake when I'm meditating.
Like, yeah, with the way Shelly described it. Yeah. Okay.
But not, like, I can be aware of what's going on around me, but I am not engaging in it. Like, the mind is completely
still.
Chill.
Yeah, it's just kind of flat, right? Yeah, good.
Yeah.
Really present. Yeah. Okay, let's sit here for a moment. Let's have a look.
Okay.
Yeah, it's good. You're really grounded in the sense that the light is really deep, actually, into the lower portal right now. So there's also physical changes going on for you in a good way, you know. So, which means just releasing usually past life karma, because we basically clear all our present karma and we clear all our past lives, all other timelines. We clear everything, and we basically then, and it goes further and further until we clear the collective, because we're all everything. Like I said to Sandra, we're everything. So we begin to clear everything, right? And so yeah, there's lots of bright light I see in your tummy, and because the light is busier down there, it makes you feel good. Mm-hmm. And up there, the mind is very still. And when the light rises up, yeah, when Shakti rises back up and goes into the mind, it can get more movement again. And so yeah, you have an experience of being resting really deep in your lower portal, which, yeah, maybe that will bring some physical changes for you, you know.
I noticed that, when we did the healing class with the ancestors, that really impacted me. Oh, I needed that big time.
Yeah.
Wow. That made a big, huge, huge difference in me. I mean,
yeah. And it was time for you. It was timely, too, because you're just in that area. The light is kind of stirring right now.
And then, you know, Ratima, sometimes I get kind of like, I'm probably not doing anything because all I feel is the light. I'm just in the light. I'm just the light. I'm just, you know, and I feel like, why I don't see things?
Oh.
You know, when things don't come to me like...
You know what? Don't worry about it, because the thing is that you're marching really fast. And when you are, everybody has a different journey, right? And when we see a lot, it can be very distracting because we process a lot. It causes a lot of vata. Every engagement with something, even especially in a subtle world, it causes vata, which is a lot of energy, right? And but if you're basically just, not just, actually, you know, when you are in delight or we are in peace or you went through stages of deep love, I mean, these are very powerful qualities. They're very divine. You're resting in these divine qualities, which means is you're more absorbed in the divine itself, and it's like a shortcut almost, and you just go home faster, really. I mean, and then once you're really go, and then there's, you know, all these other stages and all that, but then eventually you'll be able to know. Knowing is more important, and when you know, sometimes you'll see, sometimes not. It doesn't really matter because you're just content.
Very, very. So, okay, I'm not just wasting my time meditating.
Oh, no, you keep going. I want you to go keep going.
Okay,
because
I was like, okay, am I really doing something? Because immediately I go into the light.
Yeah, you go totally, yeah, exactly. You're going to merge, and you are used to light as well. The light is a very sweet energy. Go into delight, meditate, and become that. Yeah, become these qualities. Okay. Really powerful. Thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you. Thank you. Okay, this is Linda in Vancouver Island. Hi, Linda.
Oh, hi, Ratima. Oh, this is another tailor-made call for me.
okay.
and so I had an experience this morning in meditation where I definitely felt a shift. But as I was sitting there in that space, I was going to ask you a couple of things. So I'm going to piggyback off of what your conversation was with Shelley and Antonia. So with Shelley, it was more about everything. For me, it's like nothing. And yet, I was very aware of all the activity around me on the physical. I was also very aware of all these different subtle bodies and where adjustments needed to be made and stuff, but it wasn't like I was even interested in that. I'm just trying to explain sort of the different levels of sensation, but my focus was really on that nothing. So if I understood correctly with what you said with Antonia, it was actually maybe feeling the vata type energies clearing up.
Because there was so much going on. Yeah, if there's a lot going on, there's two things. It can be, let's put it this way. How did you feel during this tremendous amount of seeing that was going on? Like, how did you feel?
I wasn't, I wasn't interested because I was way more like in a nothing. And it was just like, it's just like, you know, when you hear the birds sing. That kind of thing. It's not like I needed to push it away or go there or anything. I was just going, I feel so whole and complete in the nothing that was odd out there. But yet I could really feel it. Like
yes, okay, no, I get it. Okay, now that's good. I'm glad you bring this up. You are, because for, you know, you're whatever we have our strength of seeing, and you have a great strength of seeing a lot of like interesting, you know, configurations that go on. These strengths are also hindrances because there are things, right? And so that you're in this place right now where you're so anchored in just the witness that it, then you're not, it's like you step higher and you're just still aware of the lower floor, you know, where all this goes on. You're looking down the, you could look down the balcony sort of, you could, you're aware that the street is bustling, but you're sitting up there on your balcony and you're just totally content. At some point, you know, if you go higher in vibration or you go deeper in, and let's say you go into the room, you step from the balcony, you go into the house, you don't know what's going on the street. You might still hear it, but you probably won't. And then suddenly it all disappears, and then it was never real. So you go more and more into absorption. But often what happens is, especially in your case, you will probably go back and forth between the masculine expression and the feminine expression of consciousness. And that's just perfectly fine because you will at some point notice you're both and you're also neither one of them.
So that, I think you just explained my query when we were doing the sun and the moon exercise. I could really feel the sun in my heart, but I was surprised to see the moon coming down through the top of my head. It wasn't left or right, and I was trying to put it left. I didn't want to go there, so I just said, okay, I'll just let it be. Is that what that was hinting at?
That's totally fine, yes, because there was more of a unity consciousness there already. You weren't in the polarity. Yeah. Okay, that's totally fine.
Oh, okay. Okay, and I have to say, like right now, I'm hearing in my heart. Like, it's so interesting. This whole call, this is really new in my physical awareness, was to hear with my heart. Like,
yeah, well, this is the thing for you, right? You are you have these are small cities, right? When you begin to open up deeper parts of the chakras, you can look and research. I don't have it all memorized because, you know, it's like they're, the chakras have many levels of esoteric depth and they can open up to interesting capacities, which can be distracting, but they do happen and they're quite amazing because you begin to experience yourself quite differently. It's like how you're the heart, you're hearing with true ears of the heart through love, you know.
Well, and it's just that profound gratitude that rushes in, the awe and the profound gratitude. It's like, wow. You know, the mind couldn't bring me there.
That's right. Yeah.
Only God, right? So it's like, wow. And I have to say that my, I don't know how else to put it. So it's like my relationship with you is just like in this place that it's like all there is you.
Yeah, I know.
I'm just going to put it that simple.
I know you're becoming, yeah, no, I've noticed that as well. It sort of naturally evolved because, how to explain it to others is that what I am is also what you are. And now it's being so focused and so strong that it's usually a time where you're very safe from now onwards because you can't be distracted at all whatsoever. It's just going now, marching forward, right? And I know some other people are in that same place. And so it appears like your entire consciousness filled with, some people say everything is God, everything is filled with God, wherever you go is God. You're so filled up and it seems to be stronger than actually the mind's wanting to separate everything, you know.
And I just go, oh, thank you for coming in such a beautiful form.
Thank you.
Love you. And it's so easy to just be like floating in Canada. Like, oh my gosh, what, you know, because beauty and truth and freedom, all of those things are just so important to me on this.
Yeah.
But as we go, but I just love, I love the play of the metaphors, and I just love the visuals. So, you know, thank you for being so beautiful presence in my life.
Oh, thank you.
thank you so much. Oh, and Arashima, can I just sit with you and you can
just
help me if I
am
misunderstanding something? Thank you.
Yeah. No, perfect. Yeah, very good. Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, so we're going to march forward to Danica right now. Danica, hi.
Hi. So I've been experiencing a lot of the same stuff that other people have, and I'm wondering if you can help me with something. So I go through times where I experience myself as everything in the background. Like, it's like the saying about the ocean and the teacup. So I become the ocean and everything. And then all of a sudden I'm the teacup, and my mind like takes over everything. It feels like my mind's so busy, I can't concentrate, I can't do anything. And then the spinning, and I feel like I'm moving backwards, and I'm not sure, I can't find where I'm caught to be able to process it out or do whatever I need to do to move forward.
Okay, so you're not feeling energetically moving backwards. It's just you feel like in terms of development. Yeah, that's what you mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, it is normal to go into the all and then come back into the specific over and over again, because if you have the nervous system and everything has to rearrange to function in the all, right? Because your ego is a focal point in this limitless, infinite, eternal existence. And so it needs to be sort of, it needs to mature. So we do go back and forth, but you're saying that you're kind of feeling that there's something not right. Okay, so let's just go just inward, like you'd be sitting in meditation with me. And right now you're in a very busy, busy mode, right? Do you feel kind of a little, like, not quite there from the throat downward?
Yeah.
Okay, so just kind of breathe deep into your abdomen for a moment and just feel yourself really sitting on your chair. Also feel your feet. So really you need some grounding here. So there you go, it's starting to change now, right?
Yeah.
Tell me what you noticed, because there's something I saw.
Well, now I feel like I'm moving downwards and spiraling like into the earth, whereas before it was going the opposite way and I couldn't get back down. But then the spinning is so intense that sometimes when I'm sitting with it, I actually feel like I'm going to fall over.
Yeah, yeah, because you are because all of your energetics, you know, is up there. It's like really, and it's really physically, like, I mean, there's a subtle energy that really goes up there. So just chant Om Bhu Devye Namaha for a few days, you know, maybe 3 days, and just kind of really ground. And like I was saying earlier with the spiraling, you need to spiral, you know, clockwise, which comes down. Counterclockwise, you leave the body, clockwise come down. Do you know the 5 Tibetans? I was going to add them to the program as well. Where you basically stand, you spin with your arms out, you know, clockwise 21 times. Start maybe with 7 or 14, and you spin, and it'll bring you, it brings you a clockwise spin to your being.
Okay.
Just Google the 5 Tibetans. I'll put up a PDF of it into the school.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, you're welcome. Good, thanks. Okay, perfect. I have Sally here in California. Hi, Sally.
Oh, hi, Aratima.
Hi.
I had a couple of things, and I'd like to sit with you. But the first thing was, when you were talking with, I think it was Danielle, and you were talking about standing on the balcony and looking at the traffic down below.
Yeah, with Linda, yes.
Okay, sorry. Anyway, I feel that way a lot. And sometimes it just feels like I think, well, why am I even here? You know, it's like, I wonder, is it an escape to be thinking that, to be observing and just, like,
well, it's, it
know,
was a little, yeah, for you it's different. It feels the same, but for you it's more of a, it's not an integrated place. So you're, yeah. So, because if you feel like, you see, there's a little disconnect there. That's why you feel like nothing has really purpose. Why am I here, right? You're not really connected to the street and all that. So we need to remain connected to everything while we are detaching. So we don't disconnect and separate and float up like what Danica did physically, literally. So we can do this mentally where we are not quite here. And usually this is due to some things that aren't integrated or processed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Can you help me with that?
Yeah. Yes.
Because so, I know what's not integrated and how I can integrate it, because I often feel like, my experiences have kind of put me in a place where I feel like I'm not really here wholeheartedly. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I'm here, and I'm doing what I can and living the same apparently life that other people have, but I'm somewhere else.
Yeah.
The way I feel.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Spiritually, that's true. We're all actually really somewhere else. And if you when you're aware of that you're somewhere else, and you're really being that and becoming that, you'll be actually really happy wherever you are. But you're not totally happy on this more physical.
Because I also have a lot of physical issues that I was going to mention that I've, especially recently, a lot of pain in my joints are, you know, just suddenly happening.
Yeah, well, when there's pain, the body says, hey, be here and be more integrated. And you do have a tendency, like in the last retreat, you said you're in your mind a lot. Remember that? So, you know, being more in the body, coming into the body. So there's two different ways you can approach this. The yonic way would be to just say, who is having all these experiences? Like, who is really not here and who's there and who's talking about this? Or you can also look at what does it feel like, right? Like when we're really soberly showing up and saying, okay, it's painful to be here, body's in pain, it's boring, I have no purpose, it seems empty. And we go into this and really, you know, we really are noticing this. And we're going into deeper than also into like the suffering of it. There's a suffering here, right? And we go, you know, in deeper into consciousness and we are being with the suffering.
Yeah. Well, I don't really, I wouldn't say that I feel like I have no purpose. I wouldn't say that.
Okay.
But the other thing is that I just have this longing to not be here. You know, it's just, even though I'm still, it's like I feel like, maybe I have this contract agreement or whatever to be here for a certain amount of time and I'll fulfill that. But it won't be without the longing that I be where I want to be.
You know, at a soul level, this isn't a good story, and it's very well, really, really true for you. But there is a there's a longing. So there's a let's do a square here. The desire to long for something and the fear to long for something, the desire to not long for something to accept, and the fear to accept. So there's a battle here between here and there, and you know the spiritual and the material, and you kind of caught there a little bit, and there's a program running. You want to collapse that, yeah. Because it sounds spiritually good to have a longing for something, but it's actually a suffering.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, exactly. So when you have a suffering, you know it's ego. It's very simple. You just pin it all down. You check and hunt for the suffering. You know, oh, there's ego showing up. What kind of program am I running there? And you collapse it. And then you got it, because it doesn't need to be there. It doesn't need to be. Sally doesn't have to experience what she's experiencing right now in this way. It can be wiped out.
Okay. So I'll do the squares. And is that...
What method... You've been here for a while in WS, so what kind of practice for resolving shadow has worked best for you?
Squares have helped a lot, and the other is that I just usually sit with it, and something will come to me, but in this case, it doesn't. It just, I feel a lot of grief.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's yeah, because it's too big, and then you can sit and sit, and you get way too involved, and then the meditation, then suddenly you walk away from meditating because it doesn't help, right? So that's why it's better to do something more proactive, where you release the program of grieving, and all that deeper suffering, and you just take care of that. Something is being disturbed here right now, so just clear it. Just clear it. Be matter of fact, you know, you've been on this journey for a long time. Don't take anything personally. Just know that you are already perfect and free, and just deal with everything that comes up. Don't think that anything is of any importance. It's just all there to be. It's like taking out the trash. We keep taking out the trash.
Well, the thing is, you know, part of my way of dealing with it was to just forget it all and become more worldly. You know, just to choose to do that so that I would forget it.
Oh, you know? Yeah, yeah. Yeah, but I know what you're saying, but it obviously forgetting was not good enough, because you would have to basically love the world more and to really transform whatever program through love into loving the world, serving, whatever else. That works as well. You can definitely do that. You know, it's the karma yogi way. We talked about that. But it's not good enough. It's not working. So you're not loving enough, or you are not showing up enough in the world. You know.
Yeah. Well, I show up, but it's only an appearance.
That's right. There you go. So half of Sally hasn't shown up. You see, that's the problem. All right. Okay.
Okay.
Thank you, yeah. Sally. Thank you. Thank you. I'm going to have Mariana here. Hi, Mariana.
Good morning. It's a wonderful call. Thank you so much. A few things I'd like to ask you. The first thing, I was going to ask you about the five Tibetans, so thank you. My question was, what in relation to the Sufism, was you know, with the spinning, would that be? I practiced it on and off many times, not recently, but it's been on my consciousness because of the Sufi healing that we're learning. So I was contemplating, would that be a good practice? Yeah,
you can do that. Yeah. I never did it from a Sufi perspective. I did the other practices, but you can definitely. But I did the Tibetans often. Like, I would do them for several months in a row, and then I move on to something else and go back to it.
Thank you. And I loved what the exercise that you gave me. A lot of Shakti is dispersed into the body. You know, like
good.
You're just buzzing afterwards. So that's amazing. The second thing. So much has been moving through since you've been doing the world healings, and I just wanted to tell you some good news.
Okay. The Prime Minister there?
Yes, she stood down 2 days ago because, you know, she's got allegations of corruption, and she's just, you know, she's so draconian. So I just thought, wow, yay.
Yeah, that's good. I saw that. Mm-hmm. I saw that yesterday, actually. I saw it, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I got shivers. So that was wild. So thank you so much. Kapanam has been huge. I'm still going, and it's been quite crunchy. So Guru said, Sri Guru Data, Devodata has really, really helped. So thank you. Okay. And then the other, the contemplation that I had when you were talking to Sandra, it was very profound when you said that there is no mother. And everything is only God. Because I had the realization yesterday, or the day before, is my soul temple. And I know that I've had, you know, I've written to you about that, and I've had discussions, and we've explored the soul temple, and, you know, in a previous retreat, and then in the Ascension Workshop, and again in the Healing School. And I realized yesterday that my soul temple is Shiva's temple. It's one and the same.
Oh, yeah, interesting. Well, that makes sense. There are polarities between the soul and the material world, like the form, like the, yes, Mariana, the person that you show up, and then the inner temple. So you could be having a very strong masculine, like a Shiva emptiness, and then on the outside there's all that feminine energy that you have. It's a very healthy, very good polarity. There is, it's, you know, and when you say that, when I say there's nothing but God, it doesn't mean God is a man or a woman. It's, you know,
that's right.
Right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because the Shiva temple is a masculine temple, mm-hmm, and I've actually visited it. It, but the world doesn't think it's a masculine temple. They think it's been built for the feminine, but it's actually, the greatest secret is it is a masculine temple. It is Shiva's temple, sacred temple. But then I also realized it's the one is the same as my soul temple, and I just felt that in that moment, I just felt that the realization is just that all is one.
Yes, yes.
That, you know, so it was a physical knowing, a contemplation, like a literal thought, a concrete thing. But in the nature of all that there is, the two merged with one, because I know it intimately, and I've had that conversation with you that we know our soul temple intimately, but I just knew that the one, that it was, you know, it was just a gnosis, that it was just the light, that pure Shiva Lingam temple,
yeah,
is that.
Yes.
I'm losing words here.
Yes, the masculine is really, the function of the masculine is the idea. So the idea that there's a temple, then the shape of it, but the,
yes,
material, the fact that you can see it, that there's subtle energies and lights you can perceive, that's the feminine, the Shakti that gives you an image. So they are, mm-hmm, one, always.
Yeah. And so it's quite profound, because like it's never changed for me. You know, it's never,
mm-hmm,
changed. But it just feels like there's just more in that gnosis. It just feels like it's a gift. It's just, it's like it's more unity consciousness, and just very, very aligned, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. When it doesn't change that much anymore, you know, it's usually a sign that your realization,
maybe,
yeah, is more, it's beginning to establish, because, you know, there's the way you were originally designed to be is, and it's starting to stabilize, you know?
Yeah, because it never changed. That was the thing. It never changed. It was always the one and the same. And with my realization that that my soul temple is actually Shiva's abode as well, or all in one, it just felt like, yeah, that's the truth. You know?
It is the truth. It is beautiful. And it is beautiful at the same time. You go past that experience as well. And you,
again,
you know,
again,
right?
And again and again.
Yes,
uh-huh,
yes, I know.
Oh.
Delight in it and know that it is, again, another gift of seeing. Yes.
Okay, beautiful. May I sit with you, please?
Yes, yes.
Thank you.
Yeah, you got some strong Shiva energy today. Look like him with a thing on top.
Wow, I can feel it in my belly just like shooting straight up.
All right. Thank you, Mariana. Thank you. Okay, so it's 12:45. We have a few hands here still. This is Norma. Hi, Norma. Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi, Rakima. Hi. Yay, me. I've done it.
I know. I can't remember your voice, so I'm glad to hear you.
I know. I think it was just once, and it wasn't even a wisdom call, wisdom school call.
Right.
But I'm like, I'm just, yeah. Yes, it's time, right? It's time. I really feel, I'm not sure why I have all this nervous energy to actually, you know, be speaking to you on a call. I have a sense, you know, I've been asking that it's some past trauma, persecution type, you know, energy past, you know, but you know, it's just time. It's time.
Yeah.
And I mean it's time for me to kind of really I know exactly what, you know, I really what I need help with. You know, I need to go back to I need to bring up childhood things that were traumatic for me, and it's still, you know, still the pattern is there. So, but for today, I mean, you know, this year in Wisdom School, I'm very grateful. You know, it's all God, you know, and I feel so strongly that this is, it's now, it's the time, right?
I just wanted.
So thank you. I can feel your energy. Just I knew once I just broke the ice and spoke with you. Anyway, thank you so much.
You're welcome. Do you want to sit for a moment? Because, you know, it's just getting used to the power. So the nerves are, it's like running a different voltage, right? And yes,
thank you.
You can certainly kind of dig into childhood stuff, which helps, and do some shadow clearing. But if you would just do you want to say something else, or we can just
well, I kind of meant that in relation to as time moves on this year, mm-hmm. you know, to really you know, start expressing what I need to, or what, you know, reaching out, you know, and expressing like mm-hmm. this. I didn't mean all today.
mm-hmm.
Today I did. I mean, I love that you said, you know, I would love to sit with you if you feel that's good for now. But I do have a specific question or reaching out for a little assistance of something that's been up for me that has these last couple of months. So which should we do first? I'll let you.
Yeah, you just tell me what the question is.
Okay. It has to do, it's on the tyrannical theme. Now, I feel very grateful that I am not having a lot of the challenges for standing up for myself that a lot of beings in this world are now, mm-hmm. standing up for their rights, not allowing certain tyrannical commands and demands. I feel very blessed. I'm not in a position that a lot of what a lot of people are going through in that way. But in a personal way, I am experiencing it with two different, especially one, people that are in my life as far as business-wise. And I'm just at a point where, you know, it's just unacceptable, you know, what is, and yet I have a lot of, it's unacceptable, and I need to stand up, and I've had a lot of difficulty. I've had a lot of difficulty with it. I don't even know how to begin. It's multi-layered, it feels, and I don't really know how to begin there were so many aspects of it, you know, as far as squares, and I've done triangles, you know, but I get a little caught with the squares. So the theme is standing up and speaking my truth. And to tell you the truth, Aratima, yes, this call is amazing. I mean, all your calls are, but it's just amazing speaking to me. And what you said to Sandra also, you know, about there's no, I mean, I feel like I've known that. I know that there's no one but me here. There's no other, right? But at the same time, whoa, that hit me really strong. So I would just, coupled with beginning to listen to module 3, I mean, I've listened to most of it, but especially the Healing the Heart MP3. Oh my goodness. You know, to stand up. I mean, I'm basically, you know, I feel pretty confident in my ability to speak and let it flow, but at the same time, you know, it's a little hard to, I've actually reached out to a manager, to sit with a manager and say, you know, that this is unacceptable the way I'm being taken care of. And I'm concerned because I've had rules for myself that that's something I would never do. If somebody was rude to me, I would never want to go to their manager and affect, you know, their livelihood, their bread. You know what I mean? I would just write it off to, I would feel for them first,
okay,
right?
I understand, Norma. I understand. Okay. We're going to the details now. Thanks for sharing.
Sure, sorry.
So, yeah, I know. And what you're showing us here is that there's a lot of emotions. It's very stressful, and you are in the story very strong, like you just did, right? I would never do this. You're really fully in the story. Your witness needs to be stronger, okay? So let's do that first. So we're sitting here, you know, just kind of sit relatively straight. I want you to just take a deep breath and then just kind of be here.
Yeah.
And I want you to bring your attention into your third eye, you know, like right in the center of the head, like, you know, the top point of your core. Just be there for a moment. Stay there. You know, there's a lot of movement there. And while you're staying there really focused, I want you to just breathe deep into the belly. Like deep breathing in the belly. And your breathe is just like really expanding the belly. And the breath, out-breath is a little longer than the in-breath. I'm just going to I'm just going to say the words. You just keep it, have your attention in the third eye. I'm going to just say the desire to tyrannize, the fear to tyrannize, the desire to victimize, the fear to victimize. There's nothing to do. Just stay at your head, at the portal up the head. The desire to tyrannize, the fear to tyrannize. The desire to victimize, the fear to victimize. The desire to be tyrannized, the fear to be tyrannized. The desire to be victimized, the fear to be victimized. The desire to love, the fear to love, and the desire to hate, the fear to hate. The desire to do, the fear to do, or the desire to be, the fear to be. And one more, the desire to live, the fear to live. The desire to die, the fear to die. How do you feel right now, Norma?
Much more peaceful.
Much more peaceful, right? Yeah. So, much more like yourself, eh?
Yeah.
Yeah. So if it just helped you to, I can, by doing this, I can pull entire squares programs up. And so one of the strongest programs you're caught in is doing and being. And your nature has, you know, there's more vata in your nature, and vata does all the time. It's always doing and moving and thinking. And so there's all this stuff going on. So there's this polarity between doing and being. And being is scary because, you know, because there's all this movement. So it becomes this distortion. So right now, as I'm speaking also, I'm just going to continue to assist you to really just to be and balancing being and doing here. And other people do all their stuff too, and you know, and so there's this whole world of being and doing. Sometimes we're being with things, sometimes we're needing to do something. So right now you are going to stand up and say, no, I don't like that. It's very simple. Once you're being yourself, it's very simple to say, no, I don't like that. Stop. Don't make it too complicated. Don't make it too complicated. Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. This.
Good. All right. Should we leave it at that today?
Sure.
Yeah. Good. Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you, Norma. Thank you. Good. Okay. I have Jennifer. And hi, Jennifer.
Hey, good morning. Mm-hmm. Close to afternoon. But I was going to talk with you about, I listened to the replay about listening to the counting.
Mm-hmm.
This morning, and I still wasn't I still was unable to see the numbers, and it took me a while to count backwards. Of course, I was maybe in the 200s when you were finished, and but the other thing is, I think I feel more than I see, because when I went back into my temple.
Mm-hmm.
You know, before it was a really sad place, but when I went back into the temple and did work, it now is not a sad place. So that's a good thing.
That's a good thing.
I was going to say, I was going to say, I don't see or feel anything. Should I be really worried? But I do feel.
No, you're definitely strong.
I know
feeling. I know you're very strong in feeling, and I found that Indigenous people are very strong in feeling. So that comes easily for you. Now, the seeing part is doesn't just happen overnight, because you need a lot of power, and the power kidney energy, especially when we're older, to drive the energy up, the kidney and the spleen energy up to the head. That's already diminishing. That's why people get gray hair and their eyes go bad, right? So the thing is that you need to develop more Dantian power. But the thing is that meditation, when you really are still and resting in the deep and you're quiet, it does build energy. And of course, the exercises that you know, exercises need to be done to develop energy. And then, you know, just give yourself, like, really, I would say, even a year. Like, to just really be able to have so much control over the numbers and the seeing, you know, so it doesn't come overnight. But that it's a challenging exercise, but you know, it's also for people that have been here for a while. So
I was getting worried.
Dad.
The other thing, I guess. Mm-hmm. I guess, can you see that my temple is as I say it is? Maybe I'm just worried about, maybe I'm doubting my own feeling.
You shouldn't. You should just trust what you experience. Just stay with that. Yes, just stay with that.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Because it was a good experience.
Of course,
you felt good with it too, right?
Yeah,
good.
I wasn't crying anymore, that's
yes.
for sure, thank God.
Yes.
Can I just sit with you?
Okay, let's do that. Yeah, good. A lot of peace there. Good. Thanks. Thanks, Jennifer.
Yeah, well, there was some pulsing there, too. I was seeing this pulsing
yeah.
in my... I was going like, wow. Never
yeah.
saw that before.
Oh, good. There you go. See, you saw something. There you go.
Yeah, that's for
funny.
Sure.
It's funny.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So funny. Okay, let's move to the last three here. And this is Vainona. Hi, Vainona.
Hi, Aratima. I'll keep it really short and do some more writing in Facebook.
Okay.
One quick question had to do with at the retreat when you were, I think it was at the retreat, when you were helping us with the intermediate again when our mind gets busy and going into the
mm-hmm.
intermediate meditation and seeing Yogananda
mm-hmm.
at first and then moving into... What happens when I do that? I find it really comes in handy, you know, when my consciousness
mm-hmm.
wants to wander off into the mind, so it just brings
mm-hmm.
me back. But when I go to picture him, you show up.
I know. That's okay.
It's okay. That's what I wanted
to know.
Like I was kind of hesitating of going into that because it's, you know, like I'm not...
Yeah, you climb through me. You don't attach
yeah.
to me. You
mm-hmm.
you are going through the consciousness that I represent, and then you climb through it, yeah.
Yes, and that's what it feels like I'm doing. So I just wanted to make sure
yeah.
there wasn't any.
You're not the only one. Yeah, I've been hearing that.
Oh, okay. Okay, well, that's wonderful. And just real quickly, I've been really in a distraction, you know, a tornado of distractions. But I'm also finding it really peaceful in its own way, too. So I'm
mm-hmm.
just staying in the eye of the storm, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And,
absolutely, yeah.
And doing then what I'm finding out of all that distraction is that I need to do a lot more movement even in my meditation. And I'm assuming that's all good. I'll go into detail maybe on Facebook if I need to know more on that.
Yeah, if you feel like the energy starts getting knotted up and the body really wants to move because, then just do moving, you know, do whatever, you know. Yeah, do the stuff we did in the retreat, for example, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay, perfect. Okay, thank
okay.
you so much. Okay.
You're welcome. Thank you. Thanks, Lenana. In fact, I'm seeing here Reem is also on a webcast. Okay, let's sit with Reem for a moment. Hi, Reem. Yeah, you have a lot of movement there going on too, eh? Okay. Thank you, Reem. Okay. And I'm going to go to Alberta. It's Katya, I think. Katya?
Hi, Rachima.
Hi there.
When you did the exercise with Norma, it was interesting. I also felt pulsation both in my third eye and actually in where the antenna is. So that was interesting. And then I felt actually some shame coming up in some of the lower, I don't know, portals or chakras. So that was interesting. So I just sat with it and it's kind of moved, I think.
Moved yeah.
Yeah. So that was, I guess, those squares were kind of helpful, really.
Yeah.
I also wanted to share some experiences, well, I guess not experiences, what's happening in the outer world. Interesting, at work, my contract was coming to an end, and they actually gave me the letter that, you know, my contract is done on the 30th of September. So I was kind of, in a way, a little bit excited that I'll have a bit more time for practices and, you know, catch up with a few things. So I told my kids that I'll be home. Pretty much the day before my last day, so I even told everyone, hey, Thursday is my last day, I come around, say goodbye to everyone. They actually told me that they're extending my contract for a year.
Oh, you're not happy?
No, I'm happy. What was interesting that everyone, all my work colleagues actually stood up for myself and they wanted me to stay and they really put a strong case because they wanted to keep me, which I found was very interesting because I'm not the one who's going and talking a lot or anything. I'm just kind of sitting in my corner and doing the work. So I didn't expect it. And everyone was telling me that I have so many skills, that I'm amazing. I'm standing there with my open mouth. I was like, why are they all telling me that? But anyway, it was kind of, I guess, nice to hear. That was one part of the story.
Okay. Just a little chat. Okay.
Well, also what I wanted to share that, astrologically, I feel where I am right now is I'm more kind of, I don't know, what's the right word, pushed by karmas, I guess. I don't know if that's the right thing. Because before, when I was in the moon period, everything was kind of nice and devotional about love. Mm-hmm. Now that I'm in Mars period, I'm working, I'm starting at 7.
Yeah.
You know, there is a lot of movement.
Yeah.
There is a lot of distraction. So I do pray for like love and devotion in my life, but I feel like I'm not there. And there is a lot of the swings and all these things that I feel like
that's
I'm kind
okay.
of aware of it, but I'm not able to get back to that, you know.
No, that's a good point here you're bringing up. We go through these different dashas and these stages, and there's a different quality we're in. So we're really just an expression of these forces. I'll just repeat this. Who you really are is divine spirit, you could say, and it kind of dresses itself, this divine spirit, into these different planetary energies, and they sometimes a red dress, sometimes a yellow dress, you know, just to illustrate that you're wearing a red dress right now, which is very dynamic, and that's okay because you are everything and nothing, so it doesn't really matter. It's also when you let when you are have no attraction or aversion to the forces of Mars, then you express Mars in its best. In its best, most divine way, and it's all perfect. It's like, it's just another, just like another animal. It just has a different quality to it. So don't seek a moon-like energy because then it's an attachment to that. You know what I'm saying? Being a dynamic, getting up to punctually to work at 7 o'clock and pushing through problems is a form of love. You follow me?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. Because I do feel kind of more distracted, but maybe, as you say, maybe it's just a different expression.
Exactly. If you're seeking a different expression, you will be distracted. And also, when you go into a new planetary energy, you go in there because it's your karma, right? You have to master it. And in the beginning, it's a bit bumpy. And then towards the end, it smooths out. And I find that right before I shift into a new dasha, as there's usually another little the last outcry of the energy to so that I really get it. So it's almost like to really feel it very strongly in some form or way. But yeah, that's just the way it is. And we surrender more and more to these things, just like the weather.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And can I ask you also, am I integrating okay after the retreat, or am I?
Okay. You do have more of the nervous energy. Yeah, just take a deep breath and just ground more as well. Yeah. And like I said, this Mercury is really activating the nerves a lot, and it's Pluto energy. So just make sure, like everybody else here, to just keep grounding, breathe, you know, and just, yeah, work with this nervousness to find patterns and problems that you want to let go of. Like just Norma says, there's certain things just I want to let go of, and so forth. This is a time to really clear it. Pluto is really good with that. Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. Last person here is Kim. Hi, Kim.
Hi, Ratma. I just wondered when Norma was speaking, I was really affected by her sharing. And I noticed I had a lot of, I guess, nervousness and energy in my belly area as mm-hmm. she was talking. It wasn't what she was saying so much as the energy that was mm-hmm. there. Mm-hmm. And now I was able to witness it happening or the effect on me, but then when you started to do the talking to her and doing the squares, then there was a lot of emotion. And I guess what I wanted to ask is two things. One, can I sit with you just so you can check? But also, is it that I need to develop my witnessing stronger? Or I'm not really, maybe that's what I'm asking. And I'm not sure if that's the right thing to be asking, if that makes sense. I just was surprised by how strongly that affected I was, I guess.
Well, there were a lot of emotions. Mm-hmm. Norma spoke with a lot of emotions, and I think we could all
yes.
feel that. When you say affected, it means that you are now different afterwards. You're just
I do, and I thank Norma for bringing that forth, because I was, at first I felt really triggered, and then I wasn't sure what that was, because it didn't feel like it was me, it was just, but my body definitely was triggered. And then there was just a lot of energy that was moving through, and it was very strong. And I don't know if I was clearing it, able to clear it, or if I was just stuck in it.
Well, you can tell. If you feel clear right now, then it's
yeah.
not stuck. If you feel clear now, then it's not stuck. So basically something moved for you because of the conversation, and then I did the squares on it. So that's good.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah. I mean, you know, it's a body, right? We all
yeah.
our bodies are all resting in this earth that is being went through huge tyrannies, and it's coming to light. So that's not unusual to experience that. And do you have to have a stronger witness? Absolutely, absolutely.
Okay.
You have to have a stronger witness that falls into this whole thing that we talked about, talking, know what you talk about, just be more in charge of where you're going. It's like driving your car. You got to look at the street instead of looking around. So don't look around, but stay not being distracted, because there's all these shiny things all around, you know, so you have to stay focused. And how do you do that? Well, sometimes you just meditate really on your upper portal, right?
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And also concentration exercise. Very good.
Very good. Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
You're
thank
welcome.
You.
Thank you. Okay. All right. That was a long call. Very interesting. Thank you, Reem. You're welcome. Okay. Let's take a deep breath here. And just be with yourself. And just as you are. Just find your heart, find your presence, find your being. and everything is just good. So just trust life. All right. Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. Have a wonderful day, and we'll talk soon. Bye.
The moderator has left the conference.